Amen. Thank you for that. Let's open our Bibles now, please, to Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. We're just going to read verses 8 through 11. I would really encourage you to read the entire chapter later, please, not now. Please listen. Isaiah 34, beginning in verse 8, shall we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Isaiah 34, in verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. And this morning I'll speak to you on this subject, night spirits. I'd ask you to listen very carefully. I've had several requests to cover this. Listen very carefully. It applies to all of us. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd give us a good hearing. Pray that we'd focus, help us to understand the urgency of the hour and how this applies to us every day of our life. May we not be afraid, but trust in thee. We yield your spirit that he would reveal these things to us. They'd become a part of our life. We could apply these principles and have an understanding of awareness of the danger, but then the safety in thee. Pray that you would do all the work and give us power to preach and hear thy word and receive it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Night spirits. This applies to every one of us. The reason being, 50% of our life, approximately, is in the dark. Now, in the good old days, which probably weren't that good, in the old West days, you went to bed with the chickens, you got up with the chickens, you read your Bible by the old coal oil lantern. I realize now we have all these technologies that Satan has brought, Lucifer, the bringer of light, forbidden technology and knowledge, to overcome the truth of the darkness, but we know it's there. So you have the sun, we're in the sunshine now, and then you have the moon. You have the daytime, you have the nighttime, you have the light and the greater light to rule the day, and then you have the darkness. So I would encourage you to be aware of this. We all are, whether we ignore it or not, and to do an experiment in your life. I do this regularly. The other night, we decided to build a fire. We have a little kiva outside and no light, but we could see the coals of the embers. And the frogs started breeding. And we could hear them way, 100 yards out, the frog would call and another one. The coyotes killed some innocent creature and was devouring it. And they were fighting over it. You could hear it like wild Comanches. And then you'd go, what was that? Very aware. When the sun goes down, the cockroaches come out.
Right.
Don't ever forget
that.
All sorts. So I'd encourage you to turn your lights off every once in a while. No nightlight, no fan, no noise. Just sit there in the utter dark and see what it feels like. Very few people do this.
Yeah.
You know, they always have some type of technology to do away with the dark. I never forgot it when we took my daughter when she was young, she probably doesn't remember it, to the caverns of Sonora. And when you get at the bottom, they say, we're going to let you know what darkness is, and they turn the lights out. It's unbelievable. You can only imagine what the kingdom of the beast will be like when they'll gnaw their tongues for pain because of the density of the darkness. But I'd encourage you to do that, because all of us are on a 24-hour cycle. Half is day, half is night. So in this spirituality, you become aware of the presence of light and the absence of light. And then you have, when you're awake in your conscience, and then when you are asleep and you enter into the, really, the vulnerable sleep world, and then you have this presence of evil when the sun goes down. You can't deny it. People are afraid of the dark. I had an aunt who never slept alone one night in her whole life. She was afraid of the dark. She was, I mean, what kind of example does that set? But it's scary, you know, if you're, you know, it's very quiet in here. When the sun goes down. So when I go to bed, I memorize this. I've had this memorized for years. I pray through these creatures that come out in the dark. I know Baptists don't like to talk about this. They're good old Baptists. But when the sun goes down, you can be attacked in your sleep. And so you better listen. You can be attacked in the nighttime. So you better listen. I remember when I was a kid, I thought Wyatt Earp. You know, I had to walk down the hall. It was probably only from there to there. Seemed like a long way. I thought Wyatt Earp was having a gunfight in this door, and he's in shooting, and then Jesse James was in this one. And I would look out my bedroom, and then I would walk down, and then my brother sleepwalked, and we found him three houses down the street. I mean, he wasn't afraid of anything. But he was sleepwalking. But, you know, all of us deal with this. Half your life is in the dark. Well, you might have artificial light, but it's in the dark. So think about that. Deal with it. So the context of this passage is the second coming of Christ, the destruction of the Antichrist and his followers, and the nature of the second death. It is a principle of death. So you have the judgment of the nations. God says the stink of their carcasses will come out of them, and Jesus will come in clouds, and the scroll will be rolled together. This is very important, because when you get a vision of the void, the scroll will either open and things will open up, or it will roll together. It's very significant. Are you getting sucked into the void, or is the void coming to you? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. You'll get sucked into it, or it's coming. So when Jesus comes, the heavens will roll together. Everything will come into one thing. So the second heaven battle, Jesus said that, or the Bible said his vesture would be dipped in blood. There will be a battle in outer space, as we call it, the second heaven. He will come down to Idumea, which is basically modern day Jordan. The Edomites, those who worship the goat, will be judged. These are they who are involved with necromancy. They try to consult the dead. They worship Baal Peor. And the Bible says when this happens, God will melt all the mountains. Everything will become pitch. Everything will dry up. Even the dust will be melted. And these strange creatures are going to be, will arrive on the scene. So you have the unicorns, the bullocks. It'll be the day of the Lord's vengeance. There will be a controversy in Zion, and the lake of fire will be developed. Now, I don't have time to go into that. We've taught that in the past. But this is a horrible, evil, judged, unclean, tormenting lake of fire. And those who die the second death will be cast into it. And when this happens, these strange evil creatures will start living on the banks of this lake. And I encourage you to read this later on. But we have these deep truths, principles, that apply to every dispensation about judgment and the dark, and when the sun goes down, and the evil then that comes on the scene. So just make a couple observations to begin. These are literal creatures, literal, and spiritual invisible creatures that come in the night. This is called anthropomorphism, where God uses, and in the spirit world, there are creatures and animals to teach a spiritual truth. There are also shapeshifters. I know the Navajos are really into that, with the werewolf and all these shift. Some of you might have seen the Lachusa. How many of you have seen one? How many of you heard of one? I've heard of it. Paulo's uncle saw one, landed in a tree, big old thing with wings. I know some of you don't believe that. You will when you see it. When it shows up, you'll believe it. So they shapeshift. They can change their image, and they have spiritual powers. They can come into your bedroom. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just making you aware. They can come into your dream state, in your consciousness. You can have a nightmare. You can get possessed if you're lost. And so there's nothing to be afraid of. Remember that story about the guy having psychological problems because a monster lived under his bed? He was going to the psychiatrist, paying a lot of money per hour, going through counseling, blaming it all on somebody, and you know how they do it, and passing the buck. And he couldn't get it solved. He's scared to death, thought a monster lived under his bed. So one day he was going to get a haircut. You know, you tell your barber stories. You said, well, man, there's this barber, this monster's under my bed. He said, well, I got the solution to that. Cut the legs of your bed off. So he just slept on the mat. Well, what do you know? The monster wasn't there anymore because he had nowhere to get under the bed. Now, that was worth your coming. I'm telling you, that was worth it. This represents light versus darkness, good versus evil, and these creatures of the night. If you look at John chapter 1, verse 3, you ought to read that later. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Now, you've probably heard of the old cockroach stomping cowboy boots with the big old pointed toe. This friend of mine bought some in Mexico, and I'm not kidding you, the toe was that long. I mean, you could really, when they get in that corner, but when the sun goes down, these things come out. So, in spiritual darkness, heresy, false teachings, evil wickedness, it rears its head, and you have to be honest. It's not there when the sun comes up. You know, a lot of people are so afraid of the dark, they watch TV all night waiting for the sun to come up. They live in the, and the Bible says, torment has fear. So you have the twilight, the deep dark night, you have the slumber, which leads into a deep sleep, the Bible talks about. And then next, it represents our consciousness versus the unconscious state of existence. So while you are asleep, you go into the subconscious or the unconscious realm. Job said, one of the greatest men who ever lived, that he had night terrors. Right. That there was evil spirits coming in. And one of them, I think it was Eliphaz, said that a spirit came into his bedroom. He saw it. The hair stood up on his arms and his spine stood up like a cat, like a razorback hog. And or a javelina. You ever seen a javelina when they get mad and that thing comes up at you and they start chomping their teeth? Why is it so quiet? And have any of you ever been out of your house, out in there into the real world? There's night terrors. So lucid dreams. That means you're dreaming and you know you're dreaming. How many of you ever had a dream? You know it's a dream. Do you want to wake up or not? Depends on how what it was. Some people wake up and they say, I want to go back to that dream. Some people are scared to death looking for any way they can get out of that dream. And so this is the dream state of the rapid eye movement. And what happens is you enter into a vulnerable position. You can't defend yourself. When you're asleep, you can't defend yourself. You can't watch out when an evil spirit comes in or tries to torment you. So this is the opposite of what the Bible calls the sea of glass. Before the throne of God, there's a molten, fiery sea, like a molten looking glass, like a mirror. And hell is the exact opposite of heaven. You have heaven is on a mountain, the sides of the north. The bottomless pit goes downward, and there are sides in that pit. And the Bible tells us that when God judges it, and you ought to read Revelation 14, that the smoke will ascend up forever and ever. They will burn in the presence of the Lamb and the holy elect angels forever and ever and ever. Now, some of you have dealt with devil-possessed people before. We've dealt with several. You better watch out what you're doing. Some of us have dealt with these things at night. And all of you have, whether you realize it or not. How many of you have had a nightmare? I have. Who hasn't? So the beasts, notice, are male in gender. This is very important. The birds are female in gender. So these evil beasts that come, the satyr and these other creatures, it's this mean male monster. What you really want to be afraid of, though, is these birds, because they are feathery in nature. These are the ones, it says, in the parables of the kingdom, they come and make their nest in the kingdom of God. Right. So the bird does not attack your life. It infiltrates your life. It wants to come in and build a nest and live off of your infrastructure. This would be like the tick or the parasite who won't get a job, make their own money. They want to live off of your hard work, and they come and build their nest. So this is where the false prophets come in, the false doctrine. The Bible says they're creepy crawlers that creep in under the threshold of the door of your house and God's house to try to infiltrate. And in the parable of the sower of the seed, they steal the word of God. Now, you know, those of us who are aware in your soul in it, can I tell you how to go to heaven? I'll listen to that. You pull out your New Testament, you're showing them, and they'll say, man, I've been looking for this. This is what I want to hear. I've been looking for this. This is just what I need. If you could have your spiritual eyes open, these wicked birds are flying in, and as soon as you're planting that seed in their heart, these wicked birds are stealing that seed. And, you know, and all of our Sunday school teachers, you need to know this is happening, the preachers, the soul winners, everybody, when the seed of the word goes out, these evil birds are trying to steal it. And, you know, me and Brother Horgesheimer had pretty good visits last week. Had a couple people, or a person prayed to receive Christ, and I like what he said. He said, he draws the line, he says, are you telling me a lie? And it was really good. And, you know, I said, probably. You know, you could almost see the birds coming in. You know, we hope for the best. But you can almost see these wicked birds just stealing everything we were saying. That woman didn't believe it. She isn't here again today. She didn't really mean it. Right. She knew she needed it. Right. But the birds stole the seed. So these unicorns, these bullocks showed up. Remember, it was the evil beast that Paul fought at Ephesus. Male in gender, and these powerful, the bulls of Bashan, it says, attacked Jesus Christ when he was dying on the cross.
That's right.
But we're talking about these creatures, most of them are female, some are male, that come in. So I've covered some of this in the past. I think you really ought to listen. When the sun goes down, these things come out. They do. So the first one, and you can look this up later, just listen, is the cormorant. Now, the cormorant is a pelican. If you've ever studied the pelican, they have a big old gullet. This thing that droops down, you've seen them, and they scoop the fish and just fill this thing and scoop it, and then it kind of wiggles around this big old gullet. And they are known for vomiting. Actually, when you study the word cormorant, it means the vomiting pelican. And you've probably seen this happen. They swallow a whole fish, you know, pretty big fingerling fish, and if that thing gets full or something doesn't work right in their esophagus, if they have one, I don't know, never studied it, they will vomit it out. And so when you go to bed at night, the cormorant wants to show up to try to get you to vomit the Word of God that you've learned that day, to vomit up the deep truth that God has taught you, because it says in Job that while you're asleep, God seals the instruction in your heart. While you're asleep, all that you've read, memorized, meditated upon, God seals it in your heart. The evil cormorant comes along and wants you to spit it up like a baby that just didn't set right, and they vomit their food. I've seen it all the time. We could all tell stories. I counseled this person. I thought they were getting it. By the next morning, it wasn't a part of them. What happened? The cormorant come. You know, some of you teachers know what I'm talking about. Okay, class, do you have your paper and pen out? Let's take notes. This is very simple. And then what'll happen? They'll vomit it up. Then by the next class, they vomited up what you taught them. That's the, and I feel sorry for the teachers. I really pray for you all the time. Don't take it personal. It's not your fault they let a cormorant in. You are a good teacher. That's their fault. So the cormorant vomits it up. And the word is twilight. So this is very, very important because it's right when the sun's going down. Right after dusk. Have you ever noticed when you drive and it's bad lighting, I call it? This is dangerous lighting. There could be a deer right there. You can't really see it. I really don't like driving in dusk. You know what I'm talking about. Right when dusk turns to pitch dark is the twilight. This is when the cormorant shows up. Be aware of it. So they can take many shapes, by the way. Many shapes, deceivers, as my brother said this morning, very subtle, very cunning, very wily. Number two, the bittern. Now, the bittern is a heron. If you've ever studied like what a heron is, the type of bird. And the heron, the thing about the heron is he cannot straighten his neck. So he, you know, most of them have an extended neck, they're flying. The bittern does this, and you'll see them just as you start looking at bitterns. And the word bittern is where we get the word bitter. And they hold a grudge. They want revenge. They have resentment in their heart. You see these type of people. They walk around like this. You know, you can just see it. You know, the guys, they're holding a grudge. And the bittern comes in when the sun goes down. So they can't fly without extending their neck. You'll see it. These type of people, they walk that way, they crouch, they have a bad posture. But these are spirits that come in the middle of the night trying to inflict damage. They want you to hold a grudge about some abuse that happened to you in your life. This is going to happen when the sun goes down. You know, maybe somebody mistreated you. It was unjust. It wasn't fair. And but they're gonna, when you're sitting there thinking at night and all the lights are off, you're looking, I call it the back of your eyelids. that bitterness is going to show up to try to make you rethink it, and then get angry and hold a grudge. And then, and this, I think this is why people grit their teeth. A lot of people grind, not the only reason, the other one is stress, which that's a big one. But, you know, they'll start getting angry because that anger comes up and it hits their jaw and they're clenching, and they start, because, you know, life's not fair. It's not supposed to be fair. God will heal you, though. The grace of God is sufficient. But just start noticing what happens if you don't meditate on the right things as you're falling asleep. Bitterness is going to show up, trying to get you to justify having a bad attitude. You notice these people? So when they wake up in the morning, that bad attitude is magnified because they let the bitterness come in and make them more bitter. I'm only giving you the overview. I hope you're listening. Very important. Number three, it says the raven shows up. Now, if you've ever been to a national park, I like ravens, the big black bird, you feed them. They can even talk. They can imitate human voices. But the crow is related, you know, the scarecrow that ruins the crops of the farmer. But the raven basically means a thief or a scavenger. So when you're asleep, how do you know somebody's not stealing your stuff? The raven shows up when the sun goes down. We need God's protection from these spirits. And actually, this word means a dusky hue of dusk. So the raven shows up right at dusk. So notice, one of the most crucial times of your life is dusk. Why? According to Genesis, the evening and the morning are the first day. The day begins at dusk. So when you're getting ready after a hard day's work and you live your life and dusk happens, the sun's beginning to set, going into twilight, the raven will show up and he wants to steal all the things you worked hard for that day, all the blessings of God, the benefits of God, all the goodness of God. He wants to steal your literal physical possessions if the thief could come in the night. He also wants to steal all the blessings of God that God has given you that day in the night. The raven's going to show up. You know, and that's why they say at the national park, please don't feed the wildlife. Man, it's quiet in here. Next, the owl shows up. Now, this is scary. We have a place on our ranch called Owl Draw. Owls live in it. There are cultures that are afraid of the owl because the owl is the bringer of death. The bringer of death. And it means to crouch and then spring forward. Now, I see owls all the time. We've got barn owls, the great horned owl. What's that little one? The miniature one. We have two of them that lives in our barn. I kind of like them. They can turn their head all the way around. They have big eyes. But if you've ever seen one, they cannot just launch. They have to first crouch, then take off. They lock the spring and they sit, then they launch. Now, I think about it all the time. That poor little rabbit minding his own business. That poor little mouse or field rat, which I don't like them, but you know, I know they're at the bottom of the food chain, the ecosystem. They're just down there. They don't know that wicked owl's in that tree. Who has the advantage? The owl. The owl preys on the merciless. It's merciless. It preys on the vulnerable. You know, and I know you may think I'm weird. Next time in your bed, just picture a tree above your bed and an owl's in there, and you're just sitting there, can't help yourself, and the sun's gone down, and you're about to enter into the rapid eye movement, subconscious sleep world, and there's that owl ready to pounce on you and your family. It's there, whether you realize it or not, and the word means an arrow snake. Now, have you ever seen those dive bombing kites and like bald eagles that can come to? Once the owl locks and launches, it's like an arrow, and it just and they get their prey. I mean, if you don't believe me, we'll show you a place on our ranch where they eat innocent animals. It's disgusting. The bones and the carcasses. It's disgusting what an owl does. It's a wicked creature. So that's why a lot of cultures, especially Spanish people and Native Americans, they believe if you see an owl, somebody's going to die. Now, I don't believe that. I see them all the time. I like them. I'm not afraid of them. But a lot of people are scared to death. So your fear does what? Comes upon you. If you don't trust in God, your fear opens the door. But a lot of people, they're really, really afraid of the owl.
Yeah.
And to this day, they're scared to death of the owl because it has the vantage point on the vulnerable. Next, dragons. Just real briefly, the dragon means the hideous, elongated creature. Now, hideous means something when you look at it, it's just ugly. Snarly, ugly. You just look at it and you go, that is hideous. And interesting, this applies to Leviathan in the sea, the sea monster, the seven-headed dragon, or the beast of the werewolf, what we would call a werewolf. You say, I don't believe in that. Well, just hope you don't run into one. The Navajo Indians and the Utes and the Pueblo Indians call them skinwalkers. Just study what a skinwalker. People see them all the time. We were at Chaco Canyon, and pretty amazing place. But skinwalkers, people were saying, we see them all the time. It's pretty spooky. But if you're saved, you don't have to be afraid of these things.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to get at. They exist. It's there. You don't have to be afraid. So when I was a kid, I don't know if they still teach this, they said the booger man is in the bushes. Is that a Texas thing? You know, when you walk up to your house at night and the hedges, you get that sense of danger. And then they tell you, that's the booger man in the bushes. You better watch out. If you don't act right, booger man will get you. You say, that's cruel. Well, I'd rather be aware of the danger than be an idiot. There is things that want to get you. There are spirits that want to kill your children while you're asleep. This happens all the time. And the average Christian doesn't pray a hedge of protection around their family, and they just go through life ignoring these imminent, dangerous realities. So what do? Turn on the nightlight. Turn on the little microphone so you can hear the baby in your bedroom. These things are invisible. So you better watch out. Just remember the next time when the power goes out, like it did during that ice storm, and what it's like. And it's, you're going to say, oh, the power's on. And I mean, the death sets in, the gloom of the dark. What's everybody doing? Where's that lantern? What, light about seven candles. Yeah, immediately running for the light. But just sit there and feel it. It's not a good feeling. Next, the satyr. I'm going to run out of time here. The Saturn is the hairy one or the shaggy he-goat. Comes from Edom. This relates to the lechusa, the chupacabra. How many of you ever seen one? I've seen them. My wife saw one. She's not crazy. She called the game warden and they showed up. It was eating a dead animal. When they had this is true whether you believe it or not. They had a predator competition at Oasis Outback. They sent everybody out. You showed up in the morning. They brought in everything that they shot. There was three chupacabras. Believe it or not, I went and saw it just from here to there. It's the most ugliest, and it's not a dog with the mange. It's a weirdo thing that sucks the blood. It has vampire. These things are out there, whether you believe it or not. So is the Lady of Guadalupe. That's a whole nother story. Who lives around the cactus, surrounds it. Watch out. That new Dia de la Muerte, no, the Santa de Muerte, the saint of death that protects criminals who bring death, witchcraft. Next, the screech owl. Now, this is important. This is where they get the term Lilith or Lilith. And I was studying this. The Jews called Mary Magdalene Lilith because she was a woman of the night, a prostitute, possessed with seven devils. She came out at the nighttime. Before she got the devils cast out and she was saved, she was a screech owl. She's a Lilith. Now, this is one we could spend a lot of time on. I'm not going to be able to for a lack of time. But this is, I can't say some of the things. If you come and ask me, I'll tell you in private because it's not good for mixed company. But this is where you get the term that the succubus and the incubus, to where they come into a man's bedroom, they do certain things to him, they can steal body fluids, take it to another place, they can attack, they bring crib death, they smother infants, that's why a lot of babies die. All sorts of evil things happen, very, very powerful, and they come into people's dreams. But what the scary one is, some of you may can relate to this, is the Lilith brings a repetitive torture. So what is called a loop dream. So you know what I'm talking about. Some of you might have had it. I've counseled a lot of people tortured with this. You're having a dream. It's terrible. It's almost over. You see the end of the story. Rather than the dream ending and you wake up, it gets a loop and it goes, and it goes right back to the beginning and you have the same horrible thing happen again. Right when you get to the end, goes right back. And this is because of a bad, evil spirit that it brings in of attachment. You can't let go in your soul and it just keeps happening. And man, it's quiet in here. This is real. Deal with it all the time. You know how I know? Because the sun's going to go down tonight. Sun's going down tonight. These things are coming out. Now, you have your consciousness now and your subconsciousness when you're asleep and the sun goes down. The last one, I'll just say it, is the vulture. So the vulture wants to scavenge what all these other things left behind. You know what it is when the scavenger shows up. And the scary thing is the caracara, the Mexican eagle's been here for a long time. They can hunt on the ground, from the sky, kill innocent, their carnivorous prey, or they love to scavenge the dead. I mean, they do it all. And, you know, just next time you see a caracara, they're everywhere. Know what's out there. So you have free will in the light. You have vulnerability after dark. And so what do you have to do? You have to be aware of this. Turn this over to the Lord as a way of life. Trust in Him, especially as the sun goes down. And God will protect you from these imminent dangers of the darkness. Now, it says, here's what He'll do. He'll send out a line of confusion and stones of emptiness. And what this means, the line is a lineage of darkness, a line of confusion. Everybody who's given over to the lake of fire and the judgment of God at the second coming will experience this for eternity. But the principle is, this will become a way of life, a lineage. And they will be tortured by these creatures, tortured when the sun goes down, afraid of the dark. And the best thing to do is face your fear. Just turn all the lights off. Say, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of anything you can bring. I will trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou inherit the land. Let not thy heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then it says, there will be stones of emptiness. So in Jewish culture, they make memorials, monuments of stone. And so this is a memorial of darkness. You know how many people love the dark, but they're really scared of it? They like skull and bones. They like evil. They like to talk about death. They like morbid things. They like goth. You know, paint your fingernails black and all that wicked stuff going on. Well, where the rubber meets the road and these things show up in your bedroom, it's not so funny. My brother and I, we dealt with somebody one time all into that stuff. Well, why are you calling me? Because you're devil possessed. If it's so much fun, why don't you enjoy it? If somebody's attacking you in the night, why do you love it during the day? You see? So, what do? We claim Psalm 121. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. God will protect you. So, what do? The Bible says God giveth the sleep to a laboring man. Right? What does it say? Hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against him. So when you're in the subconscious sleep world, you have the word there. And when you're really right with God, what did Solomon do? Solomon prayed or dreamed he was praying. Right. He dreamed he was praying. And you can actually meditate on the word while you're asleep. Now you say, how do you do that? Well, try it and see if you can do it. Yeah. Meditate on the word while you're asleep. So, you know, I do this every night when I'm laying there. I've got all these creatures memorized. I know what they're trying to do to me. And I mention it by name and I pray and I turn it over to God. I know the cormorant's trying to make me throw up something. I know the bittern's trying to make me have a bad attitude. I know the raven's showing up to try to steal something God gave me. I know the owl is trying to get me in my vulnerability while I'm just sitting there and there's nothing I can do. What was that? Oh. Did you hear that? Oh. Anyway. So, night spirits. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. Trying to make you aware. If you're aware, cast your care upon him. He cares for you. If you don't know this exists, you can't do it. So, this is a reality I have to face. 50% of my life is in the dark. I know we have artificial light. 50% of your life is in the dark. You better know what's going on. You better be aware of it because, and I'm through. What happens in the dark is largely determined by what did you do in the light. If you did the right things in the light,
amen,
God will protect you in the dark. So when the dusk comes in the twilight, when did the evil, now this is good stuff, when did the strange woman get the simple man in Proverbs 7? In the twilight, in the dark night. In the right at the twilight, when the cormorant and the bittern and the raven and the owl and the lilith screech owl showed up. That's right when they show up. Hey, you want to watch a movie? You better watch out what movie you watch. We had these bus kids into Children of the Corn. I'm not sure exactly. They spelled it K-O-R-N. And their mom put curses on them and put beads on them and said, if you break this necklace, you'll be cursed. All this wicked stuff. And we said, why do you do that? They said, my mom makes us watch it at about 11 o'clock at night. In the twilight, in the dusk, in the twilight, in the deep, in the dark night. Not trying to make you afraid. This really helps me. I mean, this is my life. Satan's after me. Satan's after you. Be aware of it.
Amen.
God will protect you and your family, your children, your household, your marriage, your possessions, your spiritual walk with God. There are night spirits. All right, let's pray. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I want you to think about what was said, not trying to scare anybody, trying to make you aware because I love you.